Irland Choco Saite Kilmore Abbey. Hallo, ich bin Chris, Podcaster und Fotograf. Heute erzählen wir euch von Kilmore Abbey. Kilmore Abbey ist eine Benediktinerinnenabtei in der Grafschaft Galway, eine sehr bekannte Sehenswürdigkeit im Westen Irlands. Sie wurde 1920 von den Benediktinerinnen gegründet, die aus dem belgischen Ypern geflohen sind, nachdem ihr Kloster beim Vormarsch der Deutschen im Ersten Weltkrieg zerstört worden ist. Die Abtei liegt malerisch am Ufer des Loch Polacapul, umgeben von den Bergen Connemaras und dem Connemara Nationalpark. Die Abtei ist bekannt für ihre neugotische Architektur, ihren viktorianischen Garten und ihre abwechslungsreiche Geschichte mit viel Liebe, Tragödie und zuletzt mit Spiritualität und Schokolade. Die Besucher können die Abtei und die Gärten besichtigen, an einer Führung durch die restaurierte gotische Kirche teilnehmen, das Mausoleum besuchen, in dem der Gründer der Abtei Mitchell Henry und seine Frau Margaret begraben wurden. Aber auch natürlich im unvermeidlichen Souvenirladen einkaufen mit ganz vielen lokalen Produkten, aber auch in den Andachtsräumen des Klosters Ruhe finden. Die Abtei ist ein Zentrum für Bildung und Kultur, das verschiedene Kurse anbietet, sowie Konzerte und Ausstellungen. Selbstverständlich haben wir auch in Kilmore Abbey einen spannenden Interviewpartner für euch gefunden, und zwar Isabel Rich, die Marketingleiterin dieser Einrichtung.
So, wir sind heute in Kilmore Abbey. Wunderschönes Wetter, grüne Berge, See, glänzende Wellen. Und wir haben heute das Glück, dass uns Jessica Rich etwas über die Kilmore Abbey und auch den Schokoladenprozess erzählen wird. Und wir freuen uns darauf. Herzlichen Dank.
Yeah, my name is Jessica Ridge. I'm the marketing manager here in Kilmore Abbey. And I've been here for about 10 years now. And before that, I was actually a student in the school that's here in Kilmore. So there was an international boarding school for, it would have been 100 years this year. And so I was a student there as well. So I have quite a close knowledge, I suppose, of the whole place. Kilmore Abbey, I suppose it first hits you because of its beauty. It's stunning. The castle built across a lake at the foot of a mountain. It's kind of that wow moment as you come across the bridge and you see it for the first time. But also its history is fascinating. It was built in 1867 by a wealthy man from Manchester. He built it as a present for the love of his life, Margaret. And so it's very much a place of love, and you can still feel that today. As you go around the estate, there's so many pieces, nods to her memory and his love for her. It was her castle. It's her coat of arms that's above the front door, which would have been quite unusual in the 1800s to kind of dedicate a building like that to someone. And then when she tragically passed away, they also built a Gothic church, a neo-Gothic chapel in her memory. So there's a tiny chapel just tucked away in the woodland. And when you go in there, you see the beautiful Irish marbles that are kind of dedicated to her memory and her love of Ireland. And also, instead of the grotesque features that you would usually find on a Gothic building, there's lots of angels and flowers. And that's all to kind of to represent her beauty and her femininity. So it's a really beautiful spot. We also have our 6.5-acre Victorian wall garden on site, and visitors there can see all of the heritage plants. So it's very unique. Everything that's grown there is varieties that were from before 1901. And if you were in Kilmore on a day like today, you'd see it's very, very beautiful, very sunny, but the west of Ireland isn't famed for its sunny weather. So it's hard to believe that in the 1800s, in that Victorian wall garden, they could grow bananas and pineapples. But the engineering that was in there was absolutely fascinating. They had underground pipes that ran through the garden that could heat the glasshouses. And when you go back there today, you don't see the glasshouses. Unfortunately, they fell to ruin after the Duke and Duchess had been here in Kilmore. The estate lay empty for 7 years and things began to fall apart. But when you go back there today, you can see the pipework that would have ran through the network of glasshouses. So it's fascinating. And then for the past 100 years, Kylemore Abbey, as well as being this beautiful place where people can come and visit, has also been a Benedictine monastery. So we have an order of nuns who fled war in Ypres in Belgium, and they came here as refugees. And for the past 100 years, they've been making this place of prayer and worship. And I think you really get that sense of serenity and peace on the estate while you're here. But also they've kind of, they've enshrined their ethos in the place. So hospitality being one of them. And we now welcome around 500,000 visitors every year. So you really kind of get that sense of hospitality. I hope everyone does anyways when they come here. And also that serenity, that spirituality, the education, as I mentioned before, with the school being here. Although that closed in 2010, we now have the University of Notre Dame from Indiana. Okay. They have part of their international campus here, so education lives on. And the other major part of their ethos is Orat Laboris, so prayer and work. And the work element means that every member of the community has to have an employment of some sort. And that's kind of taken different guises through the years. We've had nuns teaching, obviously in the school, we've had nuns who've made pottery, and more recently we have Sister Genevieve who set up the chocolate kitchen and a soap kitchen. So in the soap, they had that since around 2010, so the art room for the school was suddenly vacant and they had to find something to do in there, so they started making soap. And then just shortly after that, again, the home economics kitchen from the school was vacant, so they started making chocolate. And it was very small at first, just a little bowl over a saucepan. And now we sell hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of chocolate every year in our shop here in Kylemore. So it's kind of grown into a larger enterprise maybe than they originally thought. But it's lovely and it's very, very different. I suppose probably everyone's favourite chocolate is the sheep chocolate, because if you're in Connemara, you see sheep everywhere. So they make little sheep-shaped chocolates for people, and they just love it. And it's so different. And really every piece is made with kind of that care and love that they put into everything that they do. So when you go around Kylemore, you can kind of peek into the chocolate kitchen, seeing things being made, and then you see our shop and you'll see them all out there on the shelves.
Yeah, what kind of soap do they produce too? So you said they also have a soap kitchen.
Yeah, they produce a few different types of soap, mainly bars of soap. So it would be like your lavender scents and, you know, lemongrass, kind of the more typical ones, but also we have a scent of Kylemore one, which captures the scent of the woodland. So as you go around Kylemore, you'll see we have, well, it's 1,000 acres in total, and it's made up of what is known as a Celtic or an Atlantic rainforest. So it's a whole blend of different types of trees, and it creates a very, very fresh air and unique scent. And so we've kind of captured that in a bar of soap as well. We also have sheep soap, because as I mentioned, you can't go too far without seeing a sheep here. And they're also very popular, and they're hand-painted. Like, if you're going around here, you'll see there's a lot of sheep on the side of the road, and they have different colours on their back. And so that signifies where they're from, whose farm they're from. But here we have a little K painted onto those sheep, hand-painted by the nuns as well.
But the order doesn't have a sheep for itself, or?
We don't. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't see them on the estate, because obviously the grass here is very well maintained. And so the local sheep tend to break into the estate quite a bit. Our head gardener has a hard time trying to keep them out of the garden. They'd do severe damage if they got in there. Because the estate is teeming with wildlife. We have deer, goats, we have some stoats, badgers, otters, foxes, everything on the estate. So we're very, very fortunate. It's such kind of a natural beauty. But yeah, the sheep are very, very much part of Kylemore in every way, even if they're ours or not.
Is there still a good connections to the original order in Belgium?
Yeah, well, that entire order moved at that stage. So there would be a lot of connections with, there was a number of sister monasteries founded at the same time as the one in Ypres in Belgium. And so we'd be still very connected to those. So they're mainly in the UK now. But I suppose the Benedictine community throughout the world would be quite close. So there'd be ties all over the world with different monasteries. And here at the moment, we're actually building the first female monastery in Ireland for 400 years. So the order here is growing, which is great. It's kind of booking a bit of a trend there. There's vocations constantly coming into our order here. And so we have 14 sisters on site now, and they're building this new monastery, which will house them together for the first time in a couple of decades. They've had to split up throughout the state kind of to house them all, so they'll be coming together, but also it'll allow for a retreat center, kind of a place for people to come and escape I mean, if you were here today to look out, you could see the beauty of this spot, and looking out over the lake, the type of serenity you could glean from that. So it'll be fantastic, hopefully this time next year. So early 2024, we'll have that open and be offering retreats to people as well.
That sounds good. Yeah. So when you stay here as a nun, how is the typical day structured?
Yeah, so they have a very, very busy day, actually. As I mentioned before, they have their various employments. So that's making chocolate, so that keeps them busy. But then they pray 6 to 9 times a day, depending on the day. So they'd get up quite early and begin their prayer. And then they come to Kyle Moore for around 3 prayer services during the day, but they'd have the rest in their prayer together. They eat together. They eat in silence always, except for on certain feast days. And so it's very... I mean, they're called a community for a reason. You know, it's a very kind of close-knit, tight community, and they would have a very, very busy, structured day. But we have a lady working here. She was saying she had no idea. She came to work with the sisters, and she had no idea how busy their lives could be. You know, you kind of think it might be very, very slow and soft, but it is a very, very busy life.
You said you were also on that boarding school. How was life there? How many girls were there?
Yeah, so I was actually a day girl, so I just kind of came and went day by day, but it was a boarding school as well. And so we had girls from all over the world come to school there. We had a lot of German girls, we had a lot of Spanish, French, Mexican, Australian, American, and it was fantastic. And yeah, no, it was a lovely place to go to school. Sometimes when you're a teenager, I don't think you fully appreciate that. But now I can look back and think, wow, I went to school in a castle, which is pretty nice. But the school was never very big. So I think at its peak, it would have had around 180 students. So when I was there, it was kind of getting that bit smaller. Boarding schools were going out of fashion a small bit. And there was fewer nuns teaching as well. There was more kind of lay teachers, so the nuns hadn't as much of an involvement. And yeah, so it was a bit smaller. When I finished, it was very small because the school was phasing out. So I think there was only 30 of us left by the time I finished. So it was, you know... There's a lot of perks to having a school that small as well. Everyone knew everyone. Everyone gets on well. Everyone still keeps in touch. So it was lovely. It was a really nice kind of holistic experience.
Okay. So when people come to Kilmore Abbey, how much time should they take?
We always recommend around 3 hours. So your entry to the estate gives you access to the full estate, and you can kind of come in as much as you want throughout the day. If you want to go out and maybe have lunch or see the shop and come back in, you're welcome to do that. And then inside, there's so much to see and do. As I mentioned, it's around 1,000 acres in total, the estate. We have the castle with the experience inside, so you can walk through the ground floor and learn about the different families that lived there. You can go over to the Neo-Gothic church and kind of take in the peace and serenity of that. Also, during the summer, we would have music recitals over there. And then you can go back to our garden and walk around there, explore. We also have a herd of Connemara ponies and a couple of Kuna Kuna pigs that you can meet when you're back there. And we have around 8 kilometres of trails on the estate as well. So there's so much to see and do here. People can spend half a day easily on the estate.
You mentioned Connemara ponies. They're wild ponies, and I think they have a Spanish heritage, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they're very, very special, and they're obviously off this region, which makes them even more special to us. They would have been, yeah, they're very kind of, they're wild in the sense that you don't need to do much with them. They're perfectly adapted to our climate here. So they spend the winter just kind of roaming on the side of the mountain. There's not a huge amount. They kind of look after themselves pretty well. But here we have a stud for them now. So we have the prefix peaceful. And so every year we would have foals born that were going to be bred, especially Connemara pony bred. And they take the prefix peaceful. And they're very, very beautiful. They're very docile breed of pony, and I think that's what makes them so appealing to so many. That they're very good with children in particular, and so they're very nice to have on the estate, and the people can go up and pet them, and they're very easygoing.
And they're beautiful creatures. So the typical Connemara pony is white, isn't it?
Yes, so they're usually born brown, and then they change to white within the first couple of years of their life.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, you can have some other colours. You can have grey and bay ponies as well, but white is the kind of the typical Connemara pony look. So if people are around our gardens, you'll see back at the We have a paddock back there. Right now, I think we have one mare and her foal in there. So you see the foal is still brown. He has a big star on his head, so he will eventually go white. And then at our farmyard as well, so there was a model farm on the estate in the 1800s. And right now we keep some of the ponies over there as well.
So it's like a petting zoo, or can you also ride the ponies?
We can't ride any of the ponies here. None of them are broken in. But you can meet with them. So daily we have at 3:30, we'll have a talk back at our pony paddock, and we have some experts on site that lead that. And they'll show you how you groom Connemara ponies, how you care for them, and kind of talk a small bit about the breed as well, because they're very unique to this part of Ireland. So it's nice to be able to kind of share some of their significant attributes with people.
And you have quite a lot of talks during the day, aren't you?
We do, yeah. So we do complimentary history talks throughout the day in the castle. So there would usually be about four of those a day, and anyone can come along and listen in. We also do music recitals. We have our pony talks. We also have feeding time with our pigs. So if you want to come and meet Gloria and Ken, our two Kuna Kuna pigs, you're welcome to do that at 12 o'clock daily. So we always have a lot going on. We do some garden talks and maybe some nature talks as well during the summer. Because as I mentioned, there's so much to see and do. You kind of want to share as much as you can with people. Also, the sisters have mass here on site at 12:15 every day and 11:30 on Sundays. And everyone is welcome to join them in their prayers as well.
And even if you have problems by foot, there is a shuttle bus, isn't it?
There is. So the estate is very large, and it's a kilometre of a distance between the castle and the garden. And so that's serviced by shuttle bus. And so that leaves every 10 to 15 minutes, and you can just hop on. You can maybe walk one way and take the bus the other if you'd like. They're also fully accessible. So if you have a wheelchair or any kind of reduced mobility, you can access the bus as well. We also have some mobility scooters and wheelchairs and that on site as well for people, because we're quite aware that it is a big area, and we want people to see as much of it as they possibly can.
And if you finished looking at the estate and you want to still stay around here in the region, what should people take a look at?
Oh, there's so much to see and do in the region. We're really, really very fortunate. So one of them is the Connemara National Park. It's directly opposite us here, and you'll see the Diamond Hill there. And the trails throughout the park are absolutely beautiful. The Diamond Hill, it's fully accessible. There's a path all the way up to the top. So we always encourage people to go and do that, and they can see down over Kylemore Valley and back beyond into there is a mountain range here that are absolutely beautiful. So we always encourage people to look at those, and you can see right out to the sea. We're also blessed with so many beaches. I mean, there's just beaches, and you know, they're kind of unseen beaches in a lot of ways. You won't see a lot of people on them, so they're kind of to yourself, and they're absolutely beautiful. And we're also quite near the Killary Fjord. So that's just a few kilometres from us here, and it's the only natural fjord in Ireland. There's boat trips out on it, there's an adventure centre beside it. So there's so much to see and do in that area as well. So it's in the area called Leenane, which a lot of people will know, and like that, it's known for two things: its beauty and its rainfall. It gets quite a bit of rain, but it's worth it. You'll see it when you're there. It's worth being there in any weather.
And that's also a Gaelic-speaking country here. Can you find anything about that here in Kilmore Abbey?
We wouldn't have a massive amount of Irish here on the estate, and that's mainly because in Connemara, so Connemara would traditionally be an Irish-speaking region, so it's Connemara is kind of split into north and south, and South Connemara, they speak purely Irish everywhere you go, and it's a very, very beautiful language. Here in North Connemara, unfortunately, we're mainly more anglicised at this stage, so there wouldn't be quite as much Irish, but you will see it on the signs as you go around. Here, if you come to Kylemore, you can see our brochures are all in Irish as well, so we like to offer that to people as much as possible. Very often when you're coming through, you'll hear someone say, you know, "Dia gut," which is hello in Irish, or "Conestatu," how are you doing? So there is small bits of it, but it wouldn't be as prominent as it would be in South Connemara, unfortunately, because it's a beautiful language.
If people want to be prepared to come here, where can they find information?
Yes, so we have a website, kylemoreabbey.com, and there you'll find everything you need to know for your day in Kylemore and how to get here, ticket availability, things like that. It would all be on our website, so you'll find that there.
But you're open all year round?
We do. So we operate reduced hours during the winter just because we move with daylight. So as the evenings get darker, we tend to, you know, close that bit earlier. But otherwise, we'd be open all year round. Some closures during the winter as well, different days, different weeks. So we just encourage people to keep an eye on the website if they are planning a trip.
it possible to reach Kilmore Abbey with public transport?
It is. So Bus Éireann, so the National Irish Bus Service, has a bus that passes our gate four times a day. So that's accessible from Clifton and from Westport, or, you know, there's connectivity from Galway as well. So that's always possible. There's also day tour companies that leave from Galway and from Dublin, and they come down here as well. So you'll find those in most of the main bus depots, or you can look up some day tours from Galway and you'll find all the details of them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that you took time for us.
Not at all. Thank you so much for coming here, and I hope you enjoy your day on the estate. You've got a beautiful day for it, so you might be able to get out and explore all of the different wonders throughout the place.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Schön, dass du bei unserem Ausflug nach Irland wieder mit dabei warst. Ich hoffe, dass dir unser Podcast gefallen hat. Wir sind leider gerade etwas aus der Reihe, weil wir ganz viele Termine und andere Events abarbeiten müssen. Wir hoffen, dass das jetzt wieder besser wird und wir auch wieder regelmäßig spätestens jede zweite Woche on air gehen können. Wenn dir diese Episode gefallen hat, dann lass uns doch ein Like oder ein Kommentar da. Wenn du irgendwelche Fragen hast, dann schreib uns bitte vorzugsweise über unsere Gruppe Erlebnis Irland auf Facebook. Ich wünsche dir einen ganz tollen Abend. Dein Chris und
deine Fee.